This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Jamie McGrawty from Vineyard Magazine. How are you, Jamie?
I'm very well, thank you, Chris.
Excellent, excellent. We're here at the London Wine Fair, day two. Have you been here day one, day two?
Yes, yeah, we're setting up Monday night and yeah, we've been here. We're here all 3 days with Vineyard Magazine on our stand.
Yep, and you're right by the Wine GB.
Wine GB, yes, yeah, so, yep.
Do you want to just tell us a little bit about what Vineyard Magazine is?
Yes, so we started publishing in 2018, and it is a magazine for UK growers and winemakers. So although when you first look at the magazine, you might think that it is literally all about wine, it is also talking about everything from how we sort out disease of grapes, how we do the winemaking, and then we also are promoting the very best of UK wine. And it came about because in 2017, there was a huge government push to get a lot of wine exported. So one of the major things that happened was wine was being exported to Canada, and Hush Heath in Kent were looking for growers to actually grow grapes for them as contract grape growing. And government were actually looking at a 15-year contract with Canada. And the UK was all of a sudden thrust into the limelight for extra growers that were wanted, not just for winemaking, but also on the contract grape growing side of things. Lots of people obviously then looking at if they're growing top fruit, so things like apples, pears, lots of people looking at the fact that they then have the perfect soil already for putting in vines. So that's where the industry really did blossom. And from there, we in 2015, we had about 500 vineyards. And now in 2022, we have over 800 vineyards in the UK.
But the magazine itself, when did you launch the magazine?
In 2018.
2018, yeah, exactly. And you were saying earlier that it's spun out from another magazine, which really wine related.
No, that's right. Yeah, so it spun from Southeast Farmer. So we've been publishing Southeast Farmer for 40 years. I've been working on it myself for over 20. And we were writing more and more about growers getting into viticulture, getting into planting their vines, getting into winemaking, and the huge success that UK wine was having. So we were featuring it so much in Southeast Farmer that we felt it warranted its own magazine. And what happened was we did a bit of research, well, quite a bit of research actually, into the UK industry, and there wasn't actually another monthly magazine focusing on UK wine. There was one other magazine that had been publishing, and it failed purely because it was only talking about UK wine. It wasn't looking at the actual ins and outs of assisting growers, talking about the growing side as well as the winemaking. So it's only just promoting the actual sales of UK wine, whereas we go from the ground right up to the shelf, you know, bottle.
The nice thing about that is if you've got 800 vineyards, you've got 800 potential buyers of people selling products. So you're an advertised-led business.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, we are. So the magazine is free if you are a grower or a winemaker. We do also offer subscriptions, and it's available to read online as well. But mainly, the advertising covers our costs. So we have advertising for everything from tractors, you know, your Massey Ferguson's, your Landini's, your John Deere's, right the way through to the big wine presses of this world. So lots of different equipment that gets advertised, as well as people that supply labels, bottles, corks, accountancy services, lots of different things that obviously the grower as a businessman needs. He needs all of those things to actually survive. Lots of things that obviously all the way from as well vineyard planting. So you have the vines, the vine guards, all the pest control, agrochemicals, although obviously a lot of growers would prefer not to use agrochemicals. A lot of them are looking to be sustainable in the UK, but we also have a whole raft of that supply chain that supports this industry.
And I suppose if you're just selling or promoting the wines themselves, you're missing out on all these commercial businesses who are looking to advertise within the magazine.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's that. Definitely. Yeah, and from day one, really, because we already had the model with Southeast Farmer. So the model that we have with Southeast Farmer is that we always visit the growers. We always go and see the farmer. We want to actually find out what makes them tick. What's the reason why they farm? Obviously, in this country, farmers aren't always making money, although a lot of people think that you always will have a rich farmer, and you always see them in their Land Rovers. It doesn't necessarily happen that way. So they have to be good business people as well as knowing what they're doing on that farm.
Yeah, I've been listening to BBC's Farmers Today because I had been doing a bit of building work, and I've been getting up at extraordinarily early mornings, like Farmers, because it's on about 5:45 in the morning, isn't it?
Yes.
And it is interesting some of the times, some of the things they cover in terms of farming. And a lot of people, when they think about wine, they don't necessarily think of it as a farming business, but your magazine is really approaching a farmer first type of approach, isn't it?
It is farmer first, yes. The thing we have to be very careful about is, yes, we want to attract the consumer, but we've also got to look after our growers and make sure that they are aware of all the ins and outs. There's a lot of people that would like to get into wine. So if you think of maybe there's quite a lot of the people that are getting into the industry are coming maybe from London money. They're not actually coming from farming, the actual farming background. So they've never heard of some of our weekly magazines that cover farming topics. They've never heard of any of the farming shows that are very popular in the UK. They've not ever seen a Massey Ferguson tractor or a John Deere tractor. And they look at our magazine and they think, oh, yeah, you know, great idea to start a vineyard, something nice to show off maybe to the friends at the weekend. But they don't realise all the work that goes on behind the scenes. And to actually have a vineyard, you've got to then also think, where are my grapes going to go? So we're having around 2 million vines planted in the UK every year at the moment. But the one thing that people are going to think about is what happens once those vines are growing and what happens to the grapes. Are you going to be bringing in a contract winemaker? Are you going to make the wines yourselves? Are you going to invest in the winery? So all these questions is what our magazine does hopefully help to answer.
Over the last 4 years, I'm interested in the people who advertise in the magazine and if there's been any sort of, well, in fact, you've been going long there because of Southeast Farmer, but have you seen a change in the type of advertisers, people offering services to the wineries?
From the start, I think it's been very consistent. So we have had everything from label manufacturers, we've had people offering the tanks, we've had all of the machinery people. I would say probably what has changed a bit recently is that more wineries are needed. So we have 800 vineyards in the UK, but we only have 180 wineries. So we definitely need more wineries. So we're seeing adverts coming through for building contractors, putting in state-of-the-art winery, state-of-the-art tasting rooms, making those really plush, nice areas for people to come and visit. Because it's not just about the wine. When you come to a vineyard, people want to be entertained.
Yeah.
And they want to have that experience, that, you know, obviously the wine tourism side of things. And so we are seeing more and more people that are getting into the design of the buildings, design of the tasting rooms. And that is definitely coming through.
And they're advertising their products.
They are advertising, yes. Yeah, thankfully.
No, it's good because, you know, wine magazines are, you know, it has to be quite niche. You have to know exactly your market because you see a lot of them pop up and then they die within a couple of years when the seed funding runs out. So, you know, it's good. Now, tell me, you've got a show. You guys do a lot of different things. Like, you know, you're saying earlier you're tied in with Wine GB.
Yes.
But you've got a big show coming up in, what, November time, isn't
it? That's right, yes. So 23rd of November. It's the Vineyard and Winery Show and launched for the first time in 2021. It's down in Maidstone in Kent. And we had 100 different UK wines, which are all there available for people to taste.
But is it like a farmer's show where you're not obviously going to have pig judging and things like that? But, you know, how does it work? I've been to a few farmer's shows in my time, particularly in New Zealand, because they're quite a good fun day out usually.
Yeah. So we don't have that type of farming. I think a lot of people that are in the industry, as I say, are not really from that farming background. So a lot of our readers haven't actually come from what you would say is normal agriculture. A lot of them have come from setting up either a hobby vineyard in their spare time, or they've given up their banking business, you know, in London. Some of them definitely have had their own arable farm maybe, and or their own top fruit business, and then they've gone into that side of things, you know, winemaking. So the thing with Vineyard Show is the main focus is the wines. So what happens a lot of the time is that growers don't get a chance to taste other growers' wines. and to actually have the opportunity to taste up to 100 different UK wines. And all of these wines are medal winners. So they've either been chosen by WineGB. We have 50 of these wines are chosen by WineGB, which is Wines of Great Britain. And they have been selected because they won medals. And that isn't just a medal in this country. That's very often in Decanter magazine. These wines are beating the best, you know, the rest of the world's wines. So they're winning awards all over the world. So the top 50 of UK wines will be at our show in November. And we also have another 50, which is chosen by one of our columnists, Matthew Jukes. And he is very well known for writing in Daily Mail, in Money Week. He does his own website. But he's been such a good supporter of English wine. And he's been writing for Vineyard Magazine since 2018, since we launched. Yep. And he chooses his top 50. So we have his top 50, and they've all been written about in Vineyard over the last 12 months. So we have, in total, his 50, WineGB's 50, and just such an amazing selection. And then because we have the growers there and the winemakers, then obviously the trade with all of their tractors and machinery and the winemaking equipment, glass making, all the bottles and everything, they all come to the show as well. So we had 80 trade stands last year. And again, it's the trade that mean we can cover our cost of putting on that show. So, and we have seminars as well for anyone interested in getting to viticulture. We have master classes as well. So very similar to what you might see at a London Wine Fair, but UK based.
Yep. And also more farming based, perhaps.
More farming based in that, yes, at the London Wine Fair, you have, it's just wines, isn't it? And you have, I've been seeing some really interesting things here today that I think people will come to our show over. So you've got people that are doing very innovative cork machines. So they're actually things that would actually be of interest to the consumer as well as to the winery. So one particular one that I saw, I'm not sure if you've seen them yourselves, it's called Coravan.
Oh, yeah.
And they actually have a device that puts a needle through the cork and takes the wine out of the bottle without taking the cork out.
Mm-hmm.
Cost, I think, about £500.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
I've got
a couple of them at home.
Those sorts of things are the things that we will be promoting at the Vineyard Show, because again, they're not just for consumer, they'll be for the winery. So yes, obviously we have your out and out farming equipment, your out and out, you know, vineyard planting machines and all types of equipment for the farmer, but it is lots of products as well that are used in the winery.
Yeah, no, for sure. Has there been any interesting articles that have been a bit surprising to you? I mean, I'm just sort of flicking through the magazine at the moment, and you know, you've got things like the secrets of nitrogen, students' participation. You know, there's lots of different topics. They are quite technical. I think, you know, if you were a master of wine or a diploma student, it might be quite a nice thing to get into, just because you need, it gives you that sort of slightly deeper look into sort of the agricultural side of the business.
Yes, half of the magazine I think can be enjoyed by anybody that enjoys English and Welsh wine. So the first half, probably up to where we have Matthew Jukes. So Matthew Jukes, as I say, always does his three different reviews each month. And then after that, it does get more technical. So we have the editor's visit, and our editor with our photographer goes to a different vineyard every month, and he will write about that vineyard, not just their growing techniques, but also everything from what equipment they have, their harvesting, how many tons they're harvesting, what they're pressing, how they're pressing, how they're aging. So yes, it does have a nice technical element, but then I think people that enjoy wine also like to know those details as well. It's not just the grower. I think it's very different. I mean, probably the out and out one that we did in this latest edition was talking about palettes. So rather than your
classic Euro palette.
Yeah. Rather than your wooden palettes, these guys, they're called Inca palette, and they actually do plastic palettes, which last a lot longer, obviously. So although we always think of wood as being the most sustainable, the fact if you have one of these plastic ones made, although you don't think of it as being sustainable, because they can not, but they can last, you know, for many, many years.
That said, I've had a lot of building materials delivered to my property, and they won't take the pallets away.
No.
So I end up chopping them up and burning them in the fire, because they're not treated usually. So they burn really well.
Yeah,
nice,
and it's
and clean.
Not carbon neutral though, is it?
Well, it sort of is by the time I've burnt it. Because you know, the carbon came from the trees and now it's going back in the atmosphere. So
yeah, very true.
It is carbon neutral as far as I'm concerned. Nice, nice.
Please, if you haven't tried UK wine before, if you haven't tried an English sparkling or a Welsh Rondo Red, please give it a go. There are some superb wines out there that UK winemakers are not only making, but they're winning these awards all over the world. So if you haven't tried one, please give it a go.
That's an interesting call, a Welsh Rondo Red.
Yes. Well, yeah.
So, why is that? Why did you say that? You know, I used to be quite a fan of Rondo.
Oh, okay.
But then everybody was moving away from it. But you've mentioned it for Wales. Why Wales and Rondo?
Wales seems to be that they do plant a lot of the Rondo variety. It does seem to be very good for their terroir, and it seems to work well. If you're up at the London Wine Fair or any other show, very often you'll see Welsh wines. I have about 30 different vineyards now in Wales.
Yeah.
And a lot of them do a Rondo. And it seems to work really well with their soils.
Okay. You're not saying that because Rondo is quite a reputation for being a vigorous grower, and it therefore needs a lot of wine services to manage it.
No. I'm saying it from personal experience. I personally quite like the Rondo.
Okay. And it is an unusual grape variety because it's one of the few grape varieties in the world that has a flesh that's red as
True.
Well. So you do get a lot of color from it without not necessarily a lot of tannins, which is
absolutely,
which would be probably quite good for England. All right then, Jamie, I think we'll wrap it up there.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers very much.